The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Before I start the sermon, Sarah Castaño, did you run a half marathon and then get showered and bring two kids up here and read the psalm in front of everybody? Man. Listen, this church thing isn't a competition, but if it was, you'd be smoking the rest of us. Ugh. I'll talk to God. That'll be another jewel in the crown, okay? Fantastic. Thank you for leadership. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you. I'm so grateful for readings like today, and I'm so grateful that we get to be together and talk about them, and we get to talk about this love as a commandment. And of course, we have this language about abiding in love, and you only hear abide in two places ever in your life. You ever hear about abiding either in church or when you watch The Big Lebowski? I think those are the two places. So we're going to need to stretch that out a little bit and understand it and talk a little bit about that. But first, I have to tell you a story. I'm really excited. I got a new car. I got this new car on Friday. I got to give it back. I used to have a Prius because I'm an Episcopal priest from California. And in California, when you get ordained, they don't give you a collar, they just give you a hybrid. That's not true. But it's got an NPR sticker on it. No, that's not true either. Okay. So I got this new car, and I picked this car special, and I bought it from Colorado. This is real. It showed up in Ohio the same day that Charlie did. And this car showed up, and I was so excited, and I looked at it, and I was like, this is amazing. Now I'm going to have to learn how to drive stick shift. Yes, seriously. I'm 38 years old. I figured I should probably learn how to drive a manual transmission car. So I learned at some point in my life, but I've never actually owned one of these. But I've been thinking about it for a long time. Like, I think I really want a manual transmission car. I really want to, like, pretend I'm in a video game when I'm driving all the time. And I really want that. But as I was thinking about that, I'm driving around this town of Cincinnati, and it's very hilly, as you know. And I'm thinking, maybe this is a terrible idea. And so as I'm, like, plotting out the different courses in my life, the ways that I drive on a regular basis, and I'm thinking, what could I do, what couldn't I do? Well, there's this way, when I take my daughter to school up to Kilgore, Pape turns into Herschel Way or Herschel something, and it's a hill and a stop sign. And I've been on that hill and that stop sign and been like, man, if I had a manual transmission, this hill would kill me. I wouldn't be able to handle this during the winter or if it rained or anything. My car shows up on Friday. Literally 10 minutes later, I have to drive my daughter to her soccer game at Kilgore. We get in the car, and as soon as I pull out the driveway, it starts to rain. And there I am on that hill behind 20 cars with the rain pouring down, going, this is my exact nightmare. Why did I do this? I stalled 5 times. 5 times right there at that stop sign. There's no happy ending here, people. That's just what happened. Like, you're waiting, and then, no, it's just awful. I'm really excited about this decision I've made. You make these decisions in your life, and then you got to live into them. Like, I'm not giving the car back. I'm just not gonna. I'm too stubborn. So I'm gonna keep this car, and I'm gonna learn how to drive it. I like I said, I know the basics, and the rest I will figure out. But I've got to learn how to drive it because I've made this decision, and I'm all in now. And that's the decision I made. So now I gotta live into that. Jesus is talking to his closest friends. And they're also his disciples, which means they're not just that they're friends and they like each other, although that's part of it. It's that they've actually said, we're all in on you. We're going to follow you. We're in on this life. And of course, 2,000 years later, we are hearing this, and most of the people in this room have been baptized, which means most of the people in this room have, in some form or another, made this promise to God that we are all in on this thing. And so when you hear that, okay, I'm all in on the Jesus thing, and then you hear Jesus say, no greater love has anyone than this, that they would lay their life down for their friends. All of us go like, well, I don't like that at all. I mean, I'd like the idea of someone maybe laying down their life for me, you know, but me for others? And I think actually when we hear it, when I hear that no greater love does someone have than this, that they would lay their life down for a friend, My first reaction is just, I don't know if I could do that. And I can admit that to you because I don't think I'm alone in it. I think we hear Jesus say stuff like that, and we have that moment when we say, and that's why you're Jesus and I'm not. Except that's not the way Jesus is talking about it. He's not setting something up so that he can show how great he is. He is talking to us about the love life for which we've signed up. We have signed up to live this life of love in Jesus' name. And now Jesus is giving a picture for us of what it looks like. And that is terrifying. We think, could I lay my life down for a friend? Could I do something that extreme? And our fear is that the answer is no. But I want to point something out, and this is where we get to the Big Lebowski. I want to point something out about abiding in God's love. And Jesus has been talking about it throughout this conversation with his friends, throughout this discourse, this conversation, right before he's arrested. He's talking to them about the final things, the most important things, the things they got to know about what it means to be part of the God love life on this earth, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. What does it look like? And last week we heard him talk about being the branches of the vine, and when the branches are connected to the vine, they're fruitful. They're bearing the fruit of love and mercy in the world when they are connected to God. And now he's talking about abiding. Well, this word abide, again, not a word you hear very often, but this word abide, you've heard of the term abode like a house, right? Like your abode is a house, at least I think Bugs Bunny used to say that. But like when you abide, this word, they're the same idea. The idea is that you abide is sort of like remaining, but it's like, it's almost like make your home in this. Make your home in love. Make your home in God. Build your home in love. Remain in it and stay in it like you live in it. And that language is essential to all of us because every single person here knows the difference between a house and a home. You know the difference. You've been a guest at someone's house or you've rented a house or you've stayed in a hotel, you've stayed in places that it's not yours. And it's been great, you've had shelter and a bed and all of that, but when you decide to make something a home, your attitude shifts, doesn't it? Your attitude shifts. Bless you. And you realize that when you decide to make a home, it's not something you decide once. It's something you decide every day when you wake up. Especially if you're a homeowner, you know that there is something wrong with your house literally every day that you have to work on, right? Like, it reminds you, even if you don't want to be reminded. I'm not talking on some idealistic level of like you wake up and say, today I will make this house a home. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dishwasher has been broken for a month, and it's been the third time that they have to come out, and I can't take this anymore, right? But you can't go anywhere. You've seen that thing online when, you know, you people say, this ain't my circus, these aren't my monkeys, right? Having a home is when you look around and you go, oh no, this is my circus and these are my monkeys. I got nowhere to go, it's this right here, right? So making a home is not about some idealistic proclamation of love. Making a home in love is about the daily practice of love. Can you lay your life down for your friends? I don't know. But I know that you and I never will even get to a point where that is even plausible if we don't understand what it looks like to practice laying our lives down for one another in our daily life. You want to have a home the way you want it to be in the future, your dream home? You may or may not get that, but you definitely won't get anywhere near it if every day you're not doing something to care for that home. You want a marriage or a relationship to be in a place of harmony? Maybe it will be, maybe it won't be, but it definitely will not be if you are not daily dying to yourself, waking up and living your life in love for someone else. Will I ever be good at driving stick shift? I have no idea, but I'm going to drive one every day. And it's not going to be idealistic or adorable or poetic. It's going to be a lot of stalling and me looking dumb in front of my kids, which I do anyway, so might as well just add to the list. Jesus is talking today about how we get to a place where we actually believe that laying down our lives for one another is possible, where we actually believe that the person we love is important enough that we would die for them. And if we want to understand that, then we have to understand the same thing that Jesus did for us. It's not just that Jesus died for us. We know that. Jesus dies for us. It's this much of the story when you read the Gospels. And it's amazing and miraculous that Jesus dies for us. I am not taking away from that. But what is just as miraculous, just as beautiful, and takes way longer is Jesus lives for us. Day in, day out, lives in love for the people around him. When you think about it in those terms, it's like Jesus is practicing. He's practicing love. Practice is important to recognize in this process. Again, because if we're going to be serious about following the commandment of love and living our lives into the God of love's plan for us, if we're serious about that, then we have to recognize, we got to get our heads out of the idealistic sort of, oh, love can look like this and it's all flowery. Because the moment that life gets difficult, you go, well, that doesn't work for me. But real love is meant to be lived in this life in conflict and pain, in fear, in confusion, and uncertainty. We are meant to live lives of love, and that means we got to practice it. That means we got to wake up today and think on a basic, practical, daily level, what does it look like for me to love this person? Jesus, at one point in his ministry, not today, but you've heard him say it, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I have heard so many people say, well, I just don't know how to do that. I agree with you. Have you tried it? Like, start trying, right? I don't know how to give the shirt off my back. Okay, can you give a dollar to a person? I don't know if I can forgive people who don't want forgiveness. Okay, Can you pray to God to help you think about what forgiveness looks like and forgive people who actually want it? Like, start somewhere. Start. You don't need to, like, start out on the hill in the rain on the way to soccer. Like, you don't need to start there. That was bad. I don't want that for myself, right? And maybe it'll feel like that sometimes. Maybe you'll feel like you're stalling out, trying to live into a life of love. But the reality is that if we're going to live these lives of love and lay down our lives as disciples, as sisters and brothers of one another, as sisters and brothers of Jesus, if we're going to do that, it doesn't start in some idealized future, on some grand scope, in some movie-like scenario. It starts right now with the person right in front of you, with the people all around you. We try to figure out how to love them. You try to figure out how to love yourself. You gotta love yourself. You gotta. If we're gonna lay down our lives, if we're gonna be the kind of people who can die for each other, if that's even a hint of a dream for us, we have to be the kind of people who are willing to live for one another, live with one another. And we do that the same way that we abide, the same way that we learn how to drive, the same way we do anything. Practice today. On your terms, in your life, with your people, practice. Practice love. The commandment is not about shaming you into behaving correctly. The commandment is about helping you recognize what you were made for. And you, all of you, were made for love.